This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Matt Jackson. This is my brother, Nick Jackson. We're the mother effing Young Bucks, and you are listening to the New Japan Purocast. Suck it! Super kick party to sweet me. All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday evening, February 25th, and today we are going to be talking about Honor Rising, which took place this past weekend at Corican Hall. Friday, February 23rd, Saturday, February 24th. I believe the third annual Honor Rising, if memory serves me correctly. And Damon, I'll tell you what, I thought that these shows were very easily digestible, fun to watch. Now, full disclosure, from the first night, I only saw the Goto Beer City Bruiser match. Watched the entire second night, and was pleasantly surprised by many matches.
Yes. First of all, it is good to be back, right?
A little weak hiatus there, right?
We had to take a little hiatus. Nothing to be concerned about, of course. But we're back and better than ever, a little refreshed. But unfortunately, we spoke for an hour. Now I'm completely out of gas.
I know. I'm emotionally and physically drained right now due to the conversation we had off the air.
Yeah, we didn't hit record. We finally just had to stop and say, look, we gotta let's get this on tape. Not tape. What do we call it now, Colin?
Damon, tape. I actually record us on a reel-to-reel.
Are you splicing? You're sitting there with a little razor blade and with a chalk?
Exactly.
I'll tell you what. I actually had to do that before in my first taste of broadcasting. I had to actually cut the reel-to-reel. Have you ever cut the reel-to-reel? Have you ever edited like that?
I started college right when that was kind of going out of out of style, if you will. There was just no practical reason to do it. I mean, I was working with Final Cut and Logic and all that stuff. So, no, I have never had the pleasure of having to do reel-to-reel. But my father actually has one. Like, I can go see one right. Physically.
Well, they kept telling us that, like, well, you know, a lot of these stations are going to have, you know, still the old technology and all, but but like for sports, and this was in the, you know, in the 90s, late 90s, I had this little, first of all, we still used cassettes, right? When we recorded, it was before digital. Oh my God, I feel like an old man talking right now.
I used to record on cassettes all the time.
Right, so we record on a cassette, and then we had this little, so you plug this, you know, eighth-inch jack into the stereo, you know, your earbuds, and then we had these little, they're like little pinchers, little metal pinchers that you hooked to the receiver of your phone. So you had to unscrew the phone, and if you ever did that, there would be like these two little relays inside the phone, how your voice would communicate. So you would stick these little, like battery cable jumpers, right? You'd stick them on, and then you'd play back the tape to the other end. Oh, my God, I feel like I'm talking like I was in the fucking 20s.
It feels like it.
But it was just the 90s. Anyway, Colin, we got a pro wrestling, a New Japan one. And these are Ring of Honor shows, so I don't even know why we're doing a show. But I did get a text like, are you doing these shows? I was like, yeah, why wouldn't we? Well, the Ring of Honor shows. I was like, shut the fuck up.
Listen, there were many things on this show that built towards the Strong Style Evolved later next month.
Yes, and I think even down the road, right, the ramifications of these shows will stretch not only for that, but I think throughout the summer. throughout June, July, and August. So, yeah, so again, when we start hand-waving Fantastic-a-Mania and we start getting shit for that, again, our biggest challenge is that they really don't help continue the New Japan progression, right? They're in a bubble, but these Honor Rising shows, I think, by and large, would help continue the storylines for New Japan. And Colin, I think these shows were really fucking good. I enjoyed them. These were like really great Ring of Honor shows that you would see here in the States. And you know what? I take that back. I think they were even better.
That was, you know what? One of my thoughts when I was watching the second night, and again, I have to go back and rewatch or watch, in this case, a lot of stuff from the first night. But the second night, as I was watching the main event of Omega and Ibushi versus Cody and Marty Scurll, one of the thoughts that I had was, you know, this is a independent style pro wrestling match that would go over really well in back home in the States, in ROH, PWG, whatever. Like this, they're working American style here. They're not necessarily working for a Japanese audience. And one of the fun things about these Honor Rising shows is that it gives the Cork and Hall audience, which you've said many times are the smartest pro wrestling audience on earth, it kind of gives them an opportunity to play indie pro wrestling fan. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, they were doing the chants, and they this was a Bullet Club showcase, right? This was a, again, better than, in some cases, some of the Ring of Honor shows that featured New Japan talent here in the States. I think the first night, Colin, you missed a couple of doozies. I think you missed a couple of really great matches that I think that are absolutely in the Colin Miller wheelhouse, that I would say please go back and watch, because they are just really great. I watched both shows front to back, so anything that you missed I can definitely comment on. But I love these shows. I think these shows were a fun watch, quick. At no point was I really looking at the phone, as I like to say. No, I enjoyed these thoroughly, and I can't wait to hear people's reactions and reviews of these shows, because right now I think they're some of the best shows that New Japan has been involved with all year. And now that goes saying, you know, obviously we didn't see the Australia shows, right?
Right.
They will be, according to Mr. Kevin Kelly.
Who?
Yeah, right. They will be on the network. Apparently they're doing voiceovers for those Australia shows. The ones in Melbourne and Sydney, and there are a couple other towns. But the reviews I got back were, they were outstanding shows, fun shows. The Australian crowd, you know, obviously they, you know, were looking forward to this. They haven't had a New Japan show there, I think ever. And again, from a financial standpoint, we're looking at packed buildings. And at somewhat outrageous ticket prices, they did a good job down there, New Japan.
Well, there's already early talks of them coming back.
Yeah, I mean, it was so successful. You know, I was hearing reports about the merch lines wrapping around the fucking building, and you know, people, you know, trying to get into the building and having a difficult time and having to get there really early. So again, the feedback that I got just from a couple people was it was an outstanding tour. Financially successful, so yeah, fuck yeah, they're going to be back probably this year. But those shows are going to be up. Those shows are going to be up on the network, so I'm really curious to see those. Getting back to these shows, I really enjoyed them. I really liked them a lot.
One of the matches that I really need to go back and watch, and I think that this is what you were alluding to earlier when you said a lot of these matches are right in the Colin Miller wheelhouse, so to speak. It's got to be Kushida, Takahashi, and Flip Gordon, right?
Correct. Colin. This is a fun three-way match. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the three-way, right? But sticking in one of these things, and again, this is if we're going Americana, right? If we're going American-style pro wrestling, sure, let's put on a three-way.
Exactly. Perfect opportunity to do a three-way in New Japan right here.
Yep. And well, let me tell you something. We all know how great Kushida is.
He's one of the best.
We all enjoy and love Hiromu Takahashi. I mean, just his, as you like to say, what is it, the devil may care attitude?
Yes, the devil may care attitude.
Yes, so we like that. Let's talk a little bit about this Flip Gordon, right? I'm almost positive. Where the fuck did I see him? I want to say it was a CZW show. Maybe.
The old Combat Zone Wrestling.
Yes, at the Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey.
The Skate Zone.
Yeah, it's a Flyers, the Philadelphia Flyers practice facility.
See, that's where New Japan needs to be booking their next big North American excursion, at the fucking Skate Zone. That's what I'm talking about.
The Flyers, the virtual healthcare Flyers Skate Zone. Yes,
oh,
he's New Jersey.
Perfect.
But here, I mean, the only problem is that they don't have bleachers there. And so everything's on the floor, and that gets really annoying real quick. But they would sell that out. Honestly, they would sell that out no problem. I will talk about what they can do and what they can't do from a gate perspective. I think they're really undervaluing themselves right now. Let's not let the cat out of the bag too much. But with what they have planned, that it seems for Strong Style Evolved, I guarantee you they could run a bigger building.
I think that if they wanted to, they could have ran the Staples Center in L.A. Absolutely.
You know, I hear a lot of chatter from Dave about that, and we're talking about Big Dave Meltzer.
Of the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Yes. And again, he's under the opinion, and from the information that he has received from people within New Japan, that, you know, the way that the tickets were going so quickly, and the amount of people that were shut out of getting tickets, he's under the assumption that that New Japan could have actually run that building. Now, here's the challenge that I have, though. The problem is that you don't know the fucking show, right? So you're buying tickets on just a New Japan name alone.
I feel like, go ahead.
Could they do that?
Well, what I was going to say is,
I don't think they would sell it out. I don't think they would sell it out of the gate.
I think they could get it. Okay. I think they could get at least, 12,000 there probably. And I feel like if they were running a venue such as the Staples Center or, my idea, Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
I feel like even without any card announced, you would have to assume running a venue of that size would have some major matches in store, correct?
I would think so. I mean, if they're going to run a... Here's the problem that I have, Colin.
Well, you have a lot of problems.
Like, well, yeah.
Go ahead.
But like, the biggest company in the world can't draw 12,000 unless it's a, they'll get it like on a SummerSlam or, you know, obviously like a big show.
I thought you were talking about Impact. I'm sorry.
Oh, my bad. Right.
I apologize.
Right. I mean, they can't, you know, a regular old house show, they ain't doing 12, right?
Back in the day, they could.
Yeah, yeah. But they would have to have a name event to the building, and then they could draw the 12. New Japan doesn't have the luxury of the TV. Right? They don't have any, like everything that they have is based off of, you know, internet buzz and, you know, an Access TV show. Okay. My point being is this: if they were going to do something like that, Colin, they would absolutely have to announce a card beforehand. Right? They can't just say, okay, New Japan is going to be at the Staples Center on April 17th, buy your tickets in February, and let's cross our fingers on this show. Again, you would think that they would put together an absolute banger of a fucking lineup.
I can tell you what the main event would have to be. And when I say what it would have to be, I mean that.
Go ahead.
It would have to be Omega versus Okada 4 for the title. There's if you're going to run a venue of that size, there is no other main event you can do besides that one. And not only that, that's where Omega would have to win.
They can't do that with Ibushi Omega against the Young Bucks.
No. Oh God. No. 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 They can't.
Really?
Yeah. No. To me. To me, that's almost that. That's a. You could do that at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
I think they could do bigger than that for that match. Colin, in the United States, can you name me a bigger independent pro wrestling match? Young Bucks against Omega and Ibushi.
At that point, then, let's not even call it a New Japan show. You know what I mean? Like, no, if you're doing a New Japan pro wrestling show at a big venue, I'm not talking about a New Japan ROH show. No. I'm talking about a New Japan pro wrestling show, like a card that you would see at Dominion. That's what I'm talking about. There's only one main event. It's Omega Okada.
Could they do an Omega and anybody else and have
Naito, maybe.
Okay, right. So I'm saying like Okada, Naito, and then Ibushi and Omega against Young Bucks. Just those two matches. Everything else is fucking filler. Six-man tag me through the roof. You mean to tell me those two matches wouldn't be something that could, you know, if it's announced in advance, sell out a big building? I think it could.
Who is New Japan Pro Wrestling's biggest North American draw?
Kenny Omega.
It's Kenny Omega. Therefore, he has to be in the main event.
I don't think he has to be.
All right.
I mean, because to me, the biggest match in North America isn't Okada Naito. The biggest match in North America is Omega, and again, Ibushi being the, you know, the everybody wanted to see it. Everybody's in love with the Golden Lovers, me included, against the Young Bucks, who, you know, are arguably the most over fucking tag team in the past 20 years. That's a North American main event right there.
It is a North American main event, not for the Staples Center, not for an arena of that size. I just don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Yeah, but here's the thing: if you did put those two matches, an Omega, Ibushi, Young Bucks, and then Okada and Naito, just those two matches. I'm going to be truthful. I think that could do really, really well in a big building.
Damon, I got to be honest with you, and I might be way off here in my reading of the North American audience's preferences. But here in the States, Kenny Omega, Young Bucks, they're the darlings. I do not think that Tetsuya Naito is nearly as big here as he is in Japan. Like Naito in Japan is Omega here in the States.
I think Naito is definitely behind Omega, but I think Naito's
I think Naito is behind the Young Bucks here in the States in terms of popularity.
I think it could go either way. But yeah, I'm you know, I think it's, you know, neck and neck.
I just don't see Naito here in America selling out a venue of that size. The main event, to me, has to be... Kenny Omega has to be in the main event.
I don't... I think the people going into that building, Colin, would think that the tag match would be a main event. I don't think you absolutely... And that's a luxury, though. I put it in the old air quotes, you don't have to waste Kenny Omega in a main event in the United States, right? You could put him in a tag match against the Young Bucks. Well, you know what I mean? Like, that's a good thing. That's a good scenario.
He could
How
face
the fuck
one,
did we get here?
He could face one other person that would really pack a house, but I know you're gonna get angry.
Who? Go.
No, I'm not going to say
I won't get angry.
Well, could you imagine Ride of the Valkyries hits everybody in the Staples Center? Yes, yes.
Well, no, I mean, that would be. Hey, listen, I don't think it's not going to happen, right? There's going to be one day where we're going to fucking wake up and we're going to be hearing Yes Chants at a New Japan show.
And everybody is going to say, who's idea was this first?
You did. You were really fucking ahead of the game on this one. You absolutely were.
It's almost
you
like were, I was talking with Meltzer almost, right?
It was like you were talking with Dee Bry. Listen, we were talking about Flip Gordon, by the way.
Flip Gordon is a guy that needs to be in a New Japan ring against Will Ospreay as soon as possible.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. You know, I know Flip's listening. New Japan needs to sign this just gentleman to a little deal, right? Colin, the minute we're done fucking recording this, you got to watch that six man. Flip is a junior heavyweight, and he adds an extra little bit of spice and a little bit of extra flavor with the juniors.
A little bit of paprika sprinkled in.
Yeah, he's going to make things a little bit more interesting. I can't guarantee nothing, but you know, he did himself no harm on these two shows, and for his chances of winding up in New Japan in the summer, come Best of the Super Junior, right?
Oh, I think he'll be there, Best of the Super Juniors for sure.
I think he did himself no harm. So and as a matter of fact, you know, his stock was raised, and I know that there were a lot of people that you know had no idea who this gentleman was when even when he was announced and even when he came to the ring. Colin, do you want a spoiler or not?
Considering that I have a spoiler right in front of my face right now, and that Flip Gordon defeated Hiromu Takahashi with a 450 splash.
Yeah.
That kind of, I mean, speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Right. That finish, you know, he's wrestling on the show the next night, but I was like, wow, they're giving this guy an opportunity. And that's the thing about New Japan. They're not afraid to do something like that. You know, they're not afraid to do something like that, which is, you know, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's, you know, Doug Peterson ballsy. You know what I'm talking about, right? Doug Peterson, you know, fourth down, Philly special.
Sure.
You know, that's a ballsy fucking, they're making stars. They have no problem making a new star. And they did. Colin, match had every element of a junior match that you would drop your pants to. The car crash element, strong technical wrestling, the flippy do, whole nine yards, all shoved into one match. Nice little three-way, nice energetic American-style three-way. You'd be all in on this.
Well, one of the matches that I heard a lot of people talking about, and this is the reason why I made sure to watch that one from the first night, was actually the Goto versus Beer City Bruiser match for the NEVER title. And I'll go so far as to say that the MVP, now granted, I didn't see the entire first night, but the MVP of both of these shows was the Beer City Bruiser.
I know people are going to say, oh, bullshit, Damon. But I'm telling you flat out, I've always liked the Beer City Bruiser. I always have.
Because you relate to him.
I mean, listen. Physically, maybe. I dig it. Like, I dig the him and Silas Young, I think, are great together. Listen, I'm not gonna lie. You hear him against Goto, and you know, I think everyone's first reaction a little bit might have been a little bit of an eye roll, right? I think, and that's fair, because I really don't think he's had an opportunity to shine. Bruiser, that is.
No. I mean, this is the most I've seen of the Beer City Bruiser.
Right. I mean, and I think a lot of people, too. I thought this match was fine. I thought it was very good. I think it was the best Goto match I've seen since, let me say, maybe I should pump the brakes on that.
You were going to say that this is the best Goto match you've seen since the Suzuki match.
I was going to say that, but maybe I should pump the brakes on that. Was it better than it wasn't better than the Evil match, right?
You know, was it better than the Evil match? That's an excellent question. It was shorter than the Evil match.
Which was a plus.
Which is a plus in a lot of ways, because, I don't know. See, I'm of the opinion that and I'm not just talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling. I'm just talking about wrestling in general. In a lot of cases, I don't feel that a lengthier match necessarily equates a better match. I don't think that a lengthier show necessarily equates to a better show. Like, you don't know how refreshing it was for me to load up NJPW World on the old Fire Stick and pull up the show and see the timestamp, 2 hours and 30 minutes. That is the length of a perfect pro wrestling show. 2:30, bing bang boom. We live in such an instant gratification society and world that when people see that 4-hour, 30-minute, 5-hour timestamp, you're like, oh my god, I don't care. I don't care what else is on. I don't care if it's the greatest match of all time on that card. When you see that timestamp, oh, I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but to me, a 2-hour and 30-minute. I mean, that's the reason why. That's one of the, well, it's not the only reason. It's one of the main reasons why these shows were so well received, because people love those takeover shows, Damon. I don't know if you know that.
They do.
These NXT takeover shows are very popular, and on top of that, there's never been a bad one. There has never been a bad takeover, and I think that for a lot. I'm not saying for fucking Dominion and the Tokyo Dome. I'm saying for a lot of shows, New Japan can learn something.
You're saying unnecessary length, right?
That's yes, what you're saying. Unnecessary length.
All right, I hear you. Look. You'd be a big fan of those Magnum TA squash matches in the 80s, right? Where he just hits the ring, belly to belly, and 1, 2, 3. We're at the door.
That's what I'm talking about.
Listen, I can't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, right? I think that is a nice, sweet spot. Now, again, I don't know if that's they were doing that intentionally and keeping them short. I mean, again, there were a lot of people that were not on this show or these shows, right? No Okada.
Right. No Okada.
No Naito.
No Naito.
No Tanahashi.
No Tanahashi.
Again, he's working an angle, right? No Suzuki-gun.
Right.
So there was a lot of key players in New Japan that were not on these shows. So, yeah, you didn't have to shoehorn in people and make them fit with, again, let's call it the way it is, with these nonsense six-man tags,
yep.
Right? Everything had a purpose. Everything was quick, you know, and again, not quick to the detriment of a match, but quick in, you know, listen, there's something to be said. I'm not going to lie. There's not something to be said about loading up that show. And yeah, there was a little bit of a sigh of relief of, oh, all right, good. This is going to be 2 hours and 20-something minutes. When the main events are coming on and I'm like, oh shit, the main event's on now, right? Wow, this show fucking flew by. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing,
right? And it's not like I was sitting there and saying, oh, here comes the main event, and then it's like, ah, fuck, here's Yoshihashi against blah blah blah. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I gotta sit through this. No, I forgot about this match. You know, there was none of that. The matches did fly by, and the show flew by, and you're right. I think there's a lot of value in what you're saying of 2 hours and something. That's why we do a 2 hour or under podcast, right? I appreciate, and I know that there are people that can appreciate, you know, a 3-hour, 4-hour fucking podcast. I can't listen to that. I just can't.
No, and a lot of people really dig when you know, the Voices of Wrestling flagship show is but 4 hours, right?
But here's the thing. They have a lot of different things they can jump to, right? They can hop around. We got New Japan. I can't talk about New Japan for 4 hours. There's nothing I could talk about for 4 hours.
There's things I could talk about for 4 hours that I can't mention on this podcast for a variety of different reasons, but I know what
you're
saying.
I run out of things. I'm like, I don't know where else am I going to put it? I don't know. Right? 4 hours. Jesus Christ. Jeez. All right. We're barely going to do an hour show here. But no, Beer City.
Beer City Bruiser Goto. Good match, right?
I thought it was really good. For a guy who no one knew, right? It's not like anybody in Corkin was like, yeah, Pierre City Bruiser's here. Besides maybe his family.
Right.
You know, nobody's going apeshit wild over it. But by the end of the 2 days, I feel like people not only knew who he was, but I don't know, he was a fun little addition.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He reminds me of what Dalton Castle was, say, 2 years ago.
Yep.
You know, where people, you know, I don't know if he comes back for every tour, but is he a World Tag League kind of guy? Yeah, what the fuck?
Why
I'd be
not?
In on that. Yeah, why not?
Him,
right.
Him and Silas Young in the World Tag League.
How about that? That'd be fun.
Sounds good to me. How about Young Bucks in the World Tag League?
See, I was waiting for you to fucking get there, Colin. Listen, scale of 1 to 10. When you heard that news, and here's the thing too. Obviously, we're talking about Young Bucks moving up to the heavyweight ranks, which is something that we have been begging for. And we said it, Colin. What else can the fucking Young Bucks do at this point as a junior?
They've done everything that there is to do. They've wrestled everyone that there is to wrestle in this junior heavyweight division. And not only that, when your junior heavyweight division to begin with is, and I don't mean this as a derogatory statement, but, you know, let's face it, when you have a lot of these tag match, six-man tags, who's getting pinned? The junior's getting pinned, right?
Of course.
The Young Bucks have transcended the junior heavyweight division. They're the Young Bucks, right?
I agree. And again, we've been saying it for probably years by now. So that's good news. How excited are you, man? This is good news.
Yeah, well, it's looking like we're going to see the Young Bucks versus Omega and Ibushi at what I assume will be Strong Style Evolved, right?
I would assume so, too. Listen, the people who bit the bullet and pardon the pun, and bought tickets, they knew what they were getting themselves into.
They bought their tickets.
That line is one of the greatest ever.
Never gets old.
They knew what they were getting themselves into, and boy, did they hit a home run. So that's going to be a absolute crazy main event.
You know what though? Like when they made the announcement, I didn't like it. Almost took me by surprise because this has been such a running gag, so to speak, on the PuroCast for seemingly years. Like, oh, Young Bucks are going to heavyweight division. Ibushi's going to win the G1. Like it was almost in that same vein, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Bucks moving to the heavyweight division, Ibushi winning G1. Like it was in that same vein. So like when the announcement finally came, maybe it's because I was shocked. I kind of didn't know how to feel.
Right? It's like all of our dreams are coming true.
Yeah. You know? It was like,
we got the payoff with Ibushi, right? We're getting the Bucks at the heavyweights, right? And instantly, the tag team division has gotten excited. The heavyweight tag division has gotten excited.
Although, a lot of people, you know, I know everybody's excited about the Golden Lovers returning. But boy, is everybody going to be sad when Omega hoists Ibushi up onto his shoulders in victory and they're having a celebration. And then, oh, one winged angel.
Well, listen.
Mark my words, that is coming sooner rather than later.
We know that the end result. Well, that to me, that means Tokyo Dome.
Don't get used to this is what I'm saying. You know what? Does it mean Tokyo Dome? No. I'm also going to go on record and say that Tanahashi will not be in the G1. Ibushi's going to have to step up to the plate and take his place, which means we're going to see Omega versus Ibushi at Budokan. You can hold me to that.
All right. Listen, I just hope he's allowed in the building.
Right, he will be.
All right. That's step one.
I paid some people off. I made some phone calls.
You made some phone calls?
Yep.
I like this.
He's allowed in.
Loud. He's loud enough.
It's like he was peddling drugs at Budokan. Like, seriously, he did a backflip.
Right, I understand. Well, listen, they're very serious over there at the Budokan.
They are.
You know, they got a lot of rules.
I wonder if Cheap Trick had as many rules as Kota Ibushi had.
And they're like Robin Zander, no backflips. What do you mean?
no five neck guitar. Right.
Oh, I know. He's like shaving off the neck. I gotta fucking do three Budokan. So, there's a lot to, as the kids say, Colin, unpack here. One, let's talk a little bit about the heavyweight tag division just for a moment. Because,
okay,
again, with the Young Bucks now in the fray, I added an extra syllable there.
Instantly.
Instantly.
Okay. I'll allow that.
All right. We have exciting heavyweight tag team action. Right? That's number one. Right? So they teased that a little bit on day one with the – I listened to English commentary day one, Japanese day two.
Ah, okay. I'm loyal, Damon. Unlike you, I'm very loyal to our friend Kevin Kelly, and I don't know. I don't know if he's our friend Don Callis, but
yeah, who knows? They were kind of hinting at it, right? They were like, oh, rumors and blah blah blah, and
word on the street.
Did you hear him go with the word on the street thing?
Wonder where that came from.
Ah, I was like, that's a shout out to the PureCast if I ever fucking heard
that's
one.
That's a wink and a nod.
A little bit. We appreciate that. But yeah, they were talking about the street. Get up the street. So they were talking about how they're putting on a little bit more mass and they're tag team experts and yep. So they were teasing a little bit about that. Young Bucks, Golden Lovers. Instantly, we have tag team fun. And instantly, we have credibility to the tag belts. Now, I know that you heard, or maybe I don't know. You know about the Evil situation, right?
Evil is going to be out for a while.
Yes. With what, Colin? Do you know?
I do not know the body part.
It is an orbital bone.
Oh, isn't that what Elgin had?
Yes. Look what happened to him.
Oh, God. Evil, if you're listening right now.
Right. No one knows where the belts stand at this point, right? You know, the 30-day rule. I don't know if that's going to be waived. But, yeah, he was injured. And I think he had surgery, Evil. So... yeah, that's pretty tricky when we're talking about a cracked orbital bone. Who knows? But that does make things a little bit more interesting.
So not his new gimmick should be that he's the tag team champions.
Ooh.
That's how I would book it.
Yeah, well, look. Hey, speaking of booking, we got to get back to this, but I bought – I told you I bought a laptop for two reasons. One for Fire Pro Wrestling, right?
Right.
And the second is this. Not on a Windows machine. That's only on my Mac.
Oh, all right.
It was Total Extreme Wrestling. It's like a booking simulator program.
Really?
Oh, yes. So much fun.
Is this only for Windows?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's why I bought this thing.
Wish you wouldn't have even told me, actually.
so great, Colin. I mean, I'm burying UWF right now. 1987 I'm running. So we're starting in 1987. I'm UWF. I got One Man Gang as my world champ. I got Brian Pillman as my TV champ, who just beat Savannah Jack. And then my tag champs are the Sheepherders.
Wow, the Sheepherders, a.k.a. the Bushwhackers, as I knew them.
Steve Williams just left me for New Japan. He signed a full-time deal with New Japan.
Ugh.
I'm like, motherfucker, I'm building you up. I was between him and DiBiase, I was going to give the belt. It's so much fun. Anyway, there's our fantasy booking segment for the day. So, yeah, if anybody's playing the Total Extreme Wrestling, the booking simulator. But by the way, if anybody from that program is listening, I love you. And B, if you're into that, by all means, I don't know how you're going to get in contact with me. Get a hold of Colin. He'll get in contact with me.
This has to be for... They have to have a Mac OS version. Come on.
They don't, Colin. Because people bitch and moan about it, and they have to, and they like, well, yeah, I booted up. What was it? Boot Camp, is it? Or I don't know. Like the window. You can how you can run Windows on a Mac.
Right.
Some kind of virtual software or some nonsense like that.
Hmm.
I just bought like a fucking $500 laptop. That's it. I bought it for those two reasons. Fire Pro Wrestling and that. Because I had to get Steam. Like, is there a Steam version for Mac? I don't think so.
I think, yes, there is a Steam for Mac, I think. You know what? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's why those are the reasons. All right, so back to the heavyweight tags. You know, this is why we can't do timestamps on our show.
Oh, if we did time, that would be virtually impossible. It would be virtually impossible.
It would be. But that's what makes us so special.
That among many other things.
Yes. Okay, so heavyweight tag. So there we go. Colin, give me your thoughts right now about how quickly and how amazingly the tag division has just improved. And go.
Well, like I said, I mean, this is something that we've been clamoring for since we started the podcast. I mean, the Young Bucks in the heavyweight tag division. Now, granted, my idea was always having two tag divisions in general is, I don't know. I just think it's a bit outdated. It's a bit, I mean, you could do it with their bloated roster, but that's neither here nor there. Young Bucks, heavyweight tag division, they're in it. Omega, Bushi, heavyweight tag division. Think about all the people that the Young Bucks could face. I mean, how about the Young Bucks versus Sonata and Evil when he returns? And I'm not saying that this would be the best match in ring, but how about a Bullet Club versus Bullet Club, Young Bucks, G.O.D.?
Right. I mean, look, the possibilities are endless. I think, but we're getting the best scenario, right? We're getting Omega and Ibushi.
They're going right for the jugular right away.
I'm going to be truthful on this New Japan PureCast. The Golden Lovers have rekindled my spark. Ooh. For,
wow.
Yes. Has rekindled my spark for pro wrestling. That's right. So when I get back from Tokyo, I'm always kind of, I'm pro wrestled out, right? I go to 900 shows, not 900, maybe 8 or 9. You know, it is an exhausting trip. It's, I try to get back, you know, it's hard, but I play a little catch up, but I haven't really watched a lot of things other than New Japan. And I did watch the NXT show, but that's really about it. Like, I haven't really watched a lot of All Japan. I haven't watched a lot of, I watched like the shows that we were at, you know, just, speaking of which, I saw myself on Access TV.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, they did the New Year Dash.
Ah, okay.
So my fat ass was all over this fucking TV.
I hope Jim Ross made a derogatory comment.
To me?
No, I'm joking.
Oh my God.
I'm saying, I hope he did.
No, he, please. Be like, there's a big horse up there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Big horse. all right, let's do it right now. Give me, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do you think Jim Ross will be on commentary live on Access TV for this Strong Style Evolve show? Scale of 1 to 10.
Here's the thing about that, though.
I hate that he's doing it. I'm going to be honest with you. I hate it.
And, well, I think
that should be fucking Kevin Kelly.
I think that if they were to have done a 3-man booth, and I'm not saying I know anything, but maybe that idea was brought to them, you know, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe that idea was brought to them and not followed through with. But if they would have done like a 3-man booth with like Kevin Kelly, who would be there to kind of help JR through, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
That's not
a bad idea.
You could do Kevin Kelly, JR, and Barnett, who I think is fine, by the way. Like, Josh Barnett, I never gave any shit. Like, I think he's just fine. It's just, JR, here's what it boils down to. I'm going to simplify this. I'm going to simplify my thoughts with one sentence. This isn't his wheelhouse.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that either. There's nothing wrong with this not being...
No, there is something wrong with it. Because guess what? If I'm going to sit here 2 years ago and bury Kevin Kelly for not knowing what the fuck the product is about, right? No, I'm going to do the same thing to Jim fucking Ross.
He should go back
shit
and listen to that. And
yeah. Because guess what? Here's the problem. And this is from last year's broadcast on Access TV. Jim Ross doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to the New Japan product.
He does not know this product. And you're right. That is a problem. But what I was trying to say is, okay, this isn't your wheelhouse, then don't do it. then don't do it.
Turn down a fucking paycheck?
But listen, here's what I'm going to say. Jim Ross had a shitty year.
Yep.
He had a really shitty year, and I can imagine. I'm not in JR's head, and I can only imagine what he went through. But I think that if I were him, I would just want to be working as much as possible. You know, I would want my mind occupied with as many things as possible, you know? And
sure.
I just think he just wants to work. You know, product be damned, I think he just wants to work.
Look, we all know the stories, and again, my heart goes out to the guy because I can't imagine going through what he went through. That aside, he did not do a good job at all. And when the wrestlers on the show are tweeting out that he did a shit job, he did a shit job, right? Now, do I expect a miracle comeback from JR? Nope.
No.
I'm not, right?
I'm not even really expecting an improvement, to be truthful.
Okay, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable.
I know, but there's certain things you have to take into account. Like, at this point in his career, I mean, he's going to get a paycheck no matter what.
Okay, that's great. But again, I can't sit here and on our silly little show and be fair and say one thing to Kevin Kelly and not another thing to JR. I can't do it.
Jim Ross is Jim Ross. He's I hate to say he's resting on his laurels.
He's resting on his laurels.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. And I understand this is not a New Japan thing necessarily. This is an Access TV thing.
When the casual pro wrestling fan who grew up hearing his voice hears that, Jim Ross is commentating on this
really
product.
Well, still?
Yeah.
You really think that?
Kinda. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
All right.
I do. Believe it or not, there are still people out there who are unaware of this product and who would enjoy this product.
Because of JR.
Not because of JR. What I'm trying to say is he could still be a catalyst for sparking someone's attention when they find out his involvement. Does that make any sense?
It does. I mean, like, and that's why he's there. I mean,
right.
Truth be told.
Right. So why are we even analyzing this?
I don't know.
We know what it's going to be.
Yeah, let's our pocket. We're going to fill it up.
Listen. I'm right there with you. I would prefer Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, and I do think that the idea that someone may or may not have had of Kevin Kelly being there, making it a 3-man booth, you know, he could have been the representative for NJPW World. Obviously, JR, Josh Barnett, they're there for the Access team, and
we got inside information.
No, not at all. Right.
Did you get a tweet from somebody?
No, I didn't get a tweet.
All right.
I think that would have been great. Kevin Kelly could have really helped JR out a lot more. And you know what? It is still kind of weird. Like, did you ever think, Damon, back when you were getting 6th-generation VHS copies of Dome shows, that we'd be in a position where there's fucking 2 English commentary teams for this product?
I know. That is crazy.
Like, think about that.
I really like your idea a lot because it's not like they haven't done that before in the history of pro wrestling.
No.
So like WCW would use Chris Cruz, right? And he would be like the guy to kind of clue in like Schiavone and Heenan, you know, as to who these people were, what the fuck, you know, they're all about.
Same with the professor, Mike Tenay.
Mike Tenay as well, right? Exactly. So again, I think there is a purpose to that role. I like that idea a lot. I don't think it'll happen. But I like that idea a lot, and I think it should happen. I'll go out and say it should happen. All right.
And isn't it weird, too, how, like Kevin Kelly and Don Callis are going to be there, but, like, they're just kind of, you know, they're just hanging.
They're like doing the, you know, the fan on the street interviews. And
right.
The pre-show and yeah.
And like we, you know, we should be doing that.
You know, we should.
Of course, all now there's an asterisk there. All expenses paid. Flight, hotel.
You don't have to pay for everything. You don't want my bar tab. I'll take care of that.
Flight, hotel, you must pay for me. Those are my two requirements.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
And we'll do the most bang up job of interviewing fans and getting their it would be a hit. I'm telling you.
You know what? You want a fun fact? And we're gonna get right back into the heavyweight tag things. Don't worry, kids.
And these other matches.
Yeah, and these other. I know, really. So you know how they had the promo video, right, for these Honor Rising shows, right? And they showed like little clips of New Japan in the States, right?
Yeah, my stomach was turning a little bit, but go ahead.
You know who was in that? Our good friend Mike Fager.
Ah.
He's the Raisuke Taguchi fan, right? He's the Taguchi fan. So I've known that. He's an HWI superstar.
Really?
That is correct. He was known as Jonathan Day. Jonathan Day, D-A-Y, yes.
Was he like the TV champion or?
He was like a world champ, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
At one point, yeah. I've known him since high school. And I'm watching, there was a few Mikes in our crew. And so everybody was last name. So he was Fager, Mike Fager. So I'm sitting there on the couch and the missus is watching and she's like, fucking Fager. I was like, I know, it's right there. I had to rewind it.
Was this HWI sanctioned by the New Jersey State Athletic Commission?
It was not. We were renegade. We were an outlaw.
You're one of those outlaw promotions that Jim Cornette likes to talk about.
That's right. We were like Angelo Poffo in Tennessee. All right, heavyweight tag. So again, I'm super excited, super pumped. Colin, can I pull back the curtain a little bit?
Certainly.
Tell me you're not super excited about the Golden Lovers.
I'm looking forward to the Young Bucks match.
Okay, this doesn't get you pumped up.
Damon, for whatever reason, I'm not feeling what everyone else is feeling in regards to the Golden Lovers.
I don't
even have a particular reason why.
The ultimate babyface tag team. I mean, we legitimately, in the year 2018, have a legitimate babyface tag team, Colin.
I know. When was the last time we've seen a legit babyface tag team?
The Fantastics. Right?
Right.
I mean, come on. They're lovable.
I'm more waiting for, like I said, Omega and Ibushi win a big match. Omega hoists him up on his shoulders in celebration, and bam. That's kind of what I'm looking forward to in all of this.
You want the turn. You're waiting for the turn.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the turn.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little piece of advice. Can I give you a little piece of advice?
Damon, you've given me many pieces of advice that I haven't taken during the time I've known you, but go ahead.
Right. Well, one, get a leather jacket.
Okay.
Two, enjoy this ride. This is a ride, right? We all know that where eventually we're going to wind up, right? Somebody's going to get their heart broken. Enjoy the ride. This is a fun fucking ride. This is a good ride. Get in on this. Get in on it now. Well, let me ask you this. The backstory. I mean, obviously you would have to go back and watch the backstory, right? So there is a lot of, I don't know, I'm going to say a huge amount, right? But if you were invested from the beginning, I think that's where people really are kind of clinging on. If you haven't caught a lot of the Golden Lovers previous, right? And kind of follow the journey of Kenny Omega. Like if your starting point is Kenny Omega in New Japan, some of this might be a little lost on you. But again, even with that being said, you have that. You know, we talk about the gays, right? When we talk about the friendship that everybody kind of understands. But I think if you go back and watch a lot of the DDT stuff. And again, the DDT stuff is not for everybody, but there is a lot of great pro wrestling in DDT. And Omega and Ibushi, you know, headlining at that point, the biggest show in DDT history. There is a huge amount of history and a backstory there that I think if you haven't been there, catch up quickly because there's so much to sink your teeth into, and it's exciting if you know the whole entire journey.
And also, if you're a new listener, if you're new to this product, rather, or both, one of the matches that I recommend checking out, and they showed it in the vignette, is that Omega Ibushi versus Devitt Taguchi match.
Yeah, Apollo 55.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a match to kind of go back and check out on NJPW World.
Absolutely, 100%. And again, I don't know where you would find it now because the archive is rest in peace. But I mean, the DDT streaming service. Support pro wrestling, and if you want to do a little backstory on that, that's probably the best place to go. But do it. I mean, it's worth the journey. It's worth the journey. And again, I'm not the biggest DDT guy, right? But I'm telling you flat out, that's some of the best stuff DDT's ever done.
You were there for that Ibushi Hiroshi match, I remember.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was a great match.
It was a great match.
And a fun match. And here's the thing. Again, the DDT's not for me, but I enjoyed it. I had a good time when I was there. I mean, I was at Cork and Hall, so how can you not have a good time? But and the crowd was a different pro wrestling crowd. You know what I mean? I don't want to say it's a casual crowd, but it was a lighter feel even throughout the crowd. You know, it was fun. You know, ribbing each other. You know, I'm rooting for Ibushi. The young lady next to me is rooting for Ibushi, and her boyfriend was rooting. He's like, I'm not having any of this.
You and all the ladies rooting for Ibushi.
That's exactly right. I was right there. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I get that you're looking forward to the end, but follow the journey. Follow the journey.
No, and you know what? There is something to be said for that. And sometimes I'm not the most patient person when it comes to my pro wrestling, when it comes to life in general. I'm not the most patient guy, but yeah, you're right. I should enjoy the journey. I'm looking forward to the Bucks match. Now, getting back to these Honor Rising shows, how about we do this, Damon, since the clock is ticking?
Yeah.
For the first show, I'm going to go through the card. I want you to give me your rapid-fire responses when I announce the matches from night one.
Okay. I'll give you like a sentence or two,
yep.
And I'll give you a general rating.
Yep. And then second night, we'll go a little bit more in-depth. So
sounds good.
So night one, Friday, February 23rd, we had Hanare and Kitamura versus Fale and Yujiro.
I'm unmemorable. but it was a decent opening match. I can't say that you would go out of your way to watch. So I would give it on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 4. It was what it was.
I think that they should have had Kitamura jackhammer Fale for the win and send him out like that.
That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome. But they were mentioning during this match, we got one more best of seven. I think they said it was against Nakanishi.
Yes, yeah, against Nakanishi. I feel like we've been building up to that for a long time now, and it still hasn't happened. But
yeah, it's going to happen like in April, I think, or something.
Good
or
Lord.
maybe it's March. I could be wrong, but yeah, they did mention that the seventh match will finally happen soon.
Liger, Delirious, and Cheeseburger versus G.O.D. and I know you hate this name, Hikileo.
Hikileo is the worst name. And even Kevin Kelly was like talking about how, you know, Haku said you're going to take this name, and he tried to explain it, but even that was just like, oh.
And by the way, really quick, Nakanishi and Kitamura, as I thought, that best of seven match is going to be at the anniversary show on March the 6th.
Ah, there you go. All right, so sooner than we thought.
Yep.
All right. So this six-man was fun as fuck, dude. It was fun. Listen, I love the Cheeseburger, and I love the fact that he is he's pencil thin. And he, you know, his offense is somewhat limited, you know, but he still thinks he's bigger than he is. He has more guts than brains, they say. I like that. Liger, of course, is Liger, who is great. And Delirious is, look, I could take him in doses, but I thought this match was a sprint and fun and, you know, honestly better than I thought it would be. And a surprise finish. And
Delirious
a surprise
over Hikuleo.
That is correct. Now, again, we're building toward the next night because they were challenging for the Never six-man titles. This was a non-title match, by the way. So, no, I think this was outstanding for the people that were in the match, right? And where it was on the card. Again, these second matches, man, never miss a New Japan second match. I like this. I like this a lot. I would give it a 6. I think I'm comfortable with a 6.
The only thing that would have made it better would be some Suzuki-Gun Juniors, right?
They
were
not.
That makes everything better, doesn't it? That makes work better. Like if Suzuki, Kanemaru was like in the office.
It just spraying. What is it with people with liquid in their mouths? And the spraying. We saw that with Bruiser. See that with Lance Archer all the time. We see that on the indies with
don't they know that this is one of the deadliest flu seasons in recent memory? Don't they know
they
that?
They just love to spit in the crowd. I'm like, fucking Christ. Nobody wants that. You know what I mean? Like, no. They're just being polite and like, it's just funny.
I'd be pretty pissed off, truth be told, if I was in the crowd and I got a big, big face full of mist from the Beer City Bruiser.
Yeah. Depends on what he was drinking, though. I'll be honest with you. I might lap off my forehead.
What if it was some Irish whiskey?
A highball. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be all in all that. I'd be looking at it right off my face.
How about Juice and Finley versus those Jackson brothers?
All right. So this is where they were talking a lot about the heavyweight stuff, right? Juice, heavyweight. Finley, shockingly enough, is a heavyweight, right?
I assumed he was.
Yeah. So, you know what I was thinking too? By the way, this match was pretty good. It really was. I would. Conley, there's another match I think that you should go and see.
Jackson's with the Meltzer driver on Finley.
Yep, I think this was a really good match. Really good match. But my point being is that, you know, these guys that are not quite young lions, they have a gimmick, but they're always losing. The Finleys and even like a Hanare.
They are the pseudo young lions, we call them.
Yeah, they're like. They're like this little tweener in between Young Lion and a main eventer, right? Like, I just wish they would just be Young Lions. You know, be a Young Lion until you sort it out, right?
That's what Jay White should have done. But...
Oh, listen, get off the Jay, poor Jay White. You're killing him. And I think he's done much better. I'm actually enjoying it more and more each and every time I see him.
Great wrestler, bad pants.
We'll talk more about him. Go out of your way to watch the Juice and the Finley against the Young Bucks. Outstanding match. Again, in a more American-style match. Colin, I would give us a 6 or a 7. I'm going to give a 7. I'm going to fucking 7.
Gee, look at Dave throwing out the 6s and the 7s on a NJPW-ROH joint show. I don't think I've heard you give this many consecutive 6s and 7s on the normal cards.
Well, listen, maybe I'm being very generous, but I like this one. Yeah, I think you should see. Right. I think... Con, I'm telling you, watch that match and the three-way, and you already saw the main event. So there you go.
Yep. Three-way we talked about, Kushida, Takahashi, Flip Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was a great junior match. I think we're in the fours. We're talking star-wise. Yeah, absolutely.
Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal, Taguchi versus Switchblade, Beretta...
Now you say that
Chucky T. I just hate that name.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Well, you didn't see.
Jay White beat Taguchi. I know that.
You did see that. I mean, the match was okay. It wasn't anything to write home about.
Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to. No, and I will go so far as to say I think Jay White was the shining star of this match. What do you think of that?
No, I believe that.
But truth be told, I don't think it's anything that you need to go out of your way to see.
Goto versus the Beer City Bruiser, on the other hand, is something I do recommend people go out of their way to see.
You really like that?
This is just a great short big hoss match.
I like the cigar, how it like it just winds up in the ring, it just explodes. You know, and you know he's like, ah, fuck. You know, he's like, oh, I know I'm going to hear it in the back.
And much like you, Damon, the Beer City Bruiser is very agile for his size.
Oh, yeah, well, he is. No, I like this match a lot. He, you know how Goto just doesn't have, he has chemistry issues. I think that's really what it is. Like, he just doesn't gel well with everyone. Like, if there's one guy in the roster that just doesn't gel well with everyone.
When you said Goto has chemistry issues, I pictured Goto in a high school chemistry class during the lab period, and he's got the coat on, and the Bunsen burner is just, like, overflowing, and the professor's like, Goto, what the hell's going on over here? I told you not to add that before.
No hydrochloric acid!
Right.
The school.
Goto's got chemistry issues, man.
He's got chemistry issues. Lab coat Goto.
Please, somebody, make a meme of that. Goto in a lab coat with a Bunsen burner.
Mm-hmm. You sent me a picture of the Brazzers logo with the Taguchi. He did send me that.
I have to send you another photo, too, by the way.
Oh, really? We got another great one?
Yeah, yeah. And it involves you. It's pretty good.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Text it to me now.
All right.
I'll yammer on about Beer City and Goto and Lab Goto.
Okay, go ahead.
Nah, because I really want to see this fucking text, and I'll describe it as I get it.
All right.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Like, we have some creative, just funny people, weirdos too. But that's good. I love them all. Yeah, the Brazzers thing was really, that was, I think I got that in the middle of like some meeting I was in, and I get this text and I just start laughing my ass off. Oh my god. Oh, here it is. All right, so Colin has texted. This is real time radio here, kids. All right, let's see here. All right, Carb Club. So it's the Bullet Club logo. It is my face where the skull would be in the crossbones, and there's two pieces of bread. It's bread as the crossbones and little, what is that, croissants? Who did this?
That is from one of my favorite listeners, the at Cynic for Hire.
Oh, what a jerk!
And you know what else is great about him too? His Facebook what would you call it, a cover photo? It is a classic Seinfeld scene of Frank Costanza talking to Larry David in a cape on the streets of New York City. One of my favorite moments. So.
Wow!
Kudos to him for existing. Pretty much.
This is pretty great. You have permission to tweet this out. You do have permission to tweet this out. Yeah, I think I'm probably doing my drunk smile on here too. Yes, Carb Club is great. I'm all in. Tweet that out. All right, very good.
Everyone, give a laugh. So the main event for night one, it was Omega Ibushi and Chase Owens versus Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll. What do you make of Chase teaming up with Kenny and Ibushi? Kind of, I don't know, going against the grain maybe?
And a big-time rub, right?
Yeah.
You know? Let me say this about Chase. MVP, so... Let me take that back. Not MVP. Most improved? He's got to be a shoo-in. On these Purecast awards, he is going to win most improved.
I would not be surprised based on his performance since January 4th.
Yep, absolutely. And he did a great job in this match. Great job. Great job, Chase. I'm telling you right now, he's going to get my vote. Listen, it's February 25th. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen. But as of right now, he is my most improved. Absolutely. Hangman Page. He's in the running too. And I've never been a big Hangman Page fan.
Me neither. And you can there's audio evidence of that from both of us.
Yeah, he's never been my cup of tea. He's in that mix. All right, so what do we got in this match here, Colin?
Yeah, so it was Omega Ibushi and Chase. Right.
Right.
Versus Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Skrull. Now, I didn't see this match, but I did, of course, see the main event from the second night, which was Omega Ibushi versus Cody and Marty Skrull.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Right. And that, obviously, that led to, the first match led to the second.
Was the six-man tag as good as the tag?
No. But, good. Kyle, there's really nothing on this show aside from that Taguchi, Jaywa, that six-man tag. That was okay. It wasn't great. But there was nothing else where I was like, oh, I got to fast forward through this. This was a indie pro wrestling, and I mean that in a good way, like an American indie pro wrestling main event. Both teams kind of struggling with the fact that they were wrestling each other. You know, Cody and Omega wanted each other's throats. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Well, Damon, listen, I have a Sendai Girls show to watch, so maybe I'll fit in this first Honor Rising show in if I can. But you
wrap
know,
it up.
Priorities come first.
I understand. You and Mackie can sit and huddle watching Ice Ribbon.
No, I'm joking. Okay, so second night here, of course. February 24th. Started off with Hanare versus Pier City Bruiser. Quick 4-minute match. Do you know what the Beer City Bruiser's finish is?
Oh, it's the he did a splash on this one, right?
Right, yeah, he did a big splash off the top rope, but it is the Milwaukee Best splash.
Ah, that's great. All right, I love him. I got to be honest with you, I love him. I want to see more of the Bruiser, the Brawler, the Bruiser,
the Brooklyn Brawler, the Beer City Bruiser,
Beer City Bruiser. And again, this was quick because, lo and behold, we'll see more of him later on in the day. I don't want to say it was a squash because it wasn't a squash. But the one thing that I do remember from the match is he wanted to fight. He didn't want to wrestle. He wanted to fight.
That's right.
And Hanare started to take it to him, but getting the better.
See what that alcohol does to you, Damon? It makes you aggressive and violent.
It can. In some people, it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't make me moody, though. It can, and it's either good or bad. So let's not talk about that.
So all right. Music, Damon, or...
right. Either you're getting hell, the B-52s are the worst band in the world, or you're getting the B-52s. They're great.
How about the Cranberries? What do you think of them?
I have a friend, my best friend, who... loves the Cranberries. If I'm not mistaken, the lead singer passed away recently,
yeah,
right?
Very sad.
It's a sad day. Yeah, it was. I'm not a huge fan, but my best friend loves, what was her name? Dolores O'Riordan? Yeah, he loved them. All right. Zombie.
Jay Lethal, Juice Robinson, David Finlay versus Yujiro, Chase Owens, and Hikuleo. I hope I'm saying that right. Of course, Jay Lethal picking up the win here to build, towards his match against Dalton Castle. However, the one takeaway that I had from this match was, and I'm not just saying this, I saw, I haven't seen him in a while, I feel, but I felt that there was an improvement with Hikuleo because I feel like he's doing exactly what he should be doing at this point, which is like mainly big power moves. Let's face it, right?
Yes.
That's what he should be doing, and I think he's doing it. I think he's executing it quite well.
There's something like a little bit of a I don't give a fuck attitude that I like when I see, like, and it's during the ring introductions. I know this is the most meaningless thing in the world, but during the ring introductions, like when they call his name, he just stands there out and he doesn't even move. Like, he just stands. I don't know. There's something. I don't know. I'm digging that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's just more confident, Colin. And again, with him, I think it's less is more. I'm in agreement. I'm not laying the boots in on him. Let's put it this way. He's not the worst thing I'm seeing out there in the ring, right?
No, not at all at this point. And we were harsh on him when he first, when he was forced into that position, but he...
I think we questioned it. Yeah, we questioned his placement, right? But
right.
You know, second opening tag, second, that's kind of where he needs to be right now.
Flip Gordon and Taguchi versus Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi. Well, I'll tell you right off the bat, one of the tag teams I want to see in the junior tag tournament is Flip Gordon and Taguchi.
And I want to see Bushi and Hiromu.
Yes, right? I'm in agreement.
Yeah, I think both of them would be a fun, and a nice addition to the tag division, right? Because that would keep things a little bit fresh. I think everybody's kind of clamoring for Bushi and Hiromu, though. I think everybody's really a fan of that combination.
Well, they do have the most awesome finish right now, in my opinion. That super code breaker.
Yeah,
I think it looks devastating.
Yeah, they're just a fun, not even a fun. They're a badass tag team. Like that's a badass junior tag team.
You know what I don't like though, and this has nothing to do with the wrestling itself. I hate when they do that gimmick where they mix the theme music together.
It's
so discordant and it really bugs me, and I wish that they would just go with Bushi's music because he has the best music in New Japan.
People love that Bushi music, yeah. Flip was looking at the lights on this one, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was. He took that monster of an MX codebreaker, whatever you want to call it.
Right. So in a strange way, Hiromu kind of gets his win back, maybe.
50-50 booking. Nobody gets over.
Look, I think everybody agrees. We need to see more Flip. We need to see more Flip. And I think, again, best of the Super Juniors, I think he punched his ticket.
Did you know, Damon, that we had a never open weight six-man tag team title match on this card?
I did. And again, I like the fact that it's a junior team primarily, right?
Yeah, the team of Jushin Thunder Liger. You might know him.
Yep.
As seen on Damon's leg. Liger Delirious.
Many girls seen that, Colin.
Oh, I bet they have. A lot. Oh, God. The line of questioning. That. Anyway, Liger, Delirious, and Cheeseburger, of course, challenging G.O.D., and the big Bad Luck Fale.
So again, built from the previous day. I like this match too. I don't know. I mean,
are you an honorary Tongan? First of all,
no.
No. Okay. No. I was just asking.
No. No. I mean, listen. No. Not that it wouldn't be an honor to be. I'm just not in a run.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah. Sure.
Oh. I didn't know. Here's what I like best about this, Colm. The mix of the juniors and the heavyweights with these never six-man titles.
Yes.
Right? I like the fact that, by and large, we're looking at a junior team. And again, with Fale in there, the size differential is massive. And even with, a Tongaloa, right? This was a fun match. Again, we always talk about how the size differential... Remember, we were talking about how Bucks and War Machine would be a fun match just because they're two opposite sides of the spectrum. And that's the way I felt with this never six-man tag. That's what these belts should be. If it's going to be hot potato, let's let everyone in the mix.
Next match. Jay White, Yoshihashi, and Chucky T taking on.
What a fire pro wrestling tag this is.
Right. Like, I watched it, but as I was reading it, I'm like, wait a minute. Did I see it? Was that right? And yes, yeah, it was right.
But here's the thing. Every one of them is a Chaos member. Was Chucky T really a Chaos member?
I don't consider him a Chaos member. But anyway, Jay White, Yoshihashi, Chucky T versus Hangman Page and the Young Bucks. Some might call them the Hung Bucks, right?
did you see that?
No, that is the thing, Damon.
Is it a thing?
Oh, yeah. They are the Hung Bucks. But anyway, story of this match, that Hangman Page, that Adam Page, has earned himself a little IWGP US heavyweight title shot. I think we're going to see that at Strong Style Evolved. And not only that, he hit Switchblade Jay White with his finisher right on the chair after the match, putting the little exclamation point on the victory. And truth be told, I'm rooting for Hangman Page.
My God.
I want to see him take that title off of Jay right. White.
Take it back to the States.
Yeah, and I'll be. I know it's sort of an inside joke that I'm not a big fan of the Switchblade gimmick, but I'm being 100% honest with you right now when I say I find Adam Page more entertaining in the ring at this point than I do Jay White.
Wow.
Think about that. I put no stock in Hangman Page historically. But as we were saying, he's really growing on us. I think that he is going to be in that most improved category. And I think he's quite talented.
Okay. I like Jay White. I'm going to say that. I like Jay White. And I'm going to go so far as to say, Kyle, I'm warming up to the Switchblade. So we're going on opposite ends.
Zero merchandise sold. Ever.
I don't know. You don't see a lot of Switchblade t-shirts. That's for certain. Look, I think they did a decent enough job putting Adam Page in a position to look strong, right? And there was a little dissension with the Bucks, right? So, you know, he tried to take him out with the chair, and the Bucks are like, hey, yeah, you won the match. Come on, let's just fucking get the hell out of here and go get some beers. And then they left the ring. And yeah, well, listen, a couple soda pops. And then, you know, he takes the chair from ringside. That poor lady had to get, you know.
I felt bad for you. But you know what? She seemed to enjoy it, though.
She was sitting there like, what do you want me to do?
She had a big smile on her face throughout the entire thing, so.
I guess, man. I think it's a polite smile.
He was very aggressive, though.
He was, I was like, come on. All she wants to do is sit there and watch a fucking wrestling show. Anyway, here he takes the chair and lays out Jay White. So, again, they're building it up. Look, Hangman Page is Hangman Page. I will say that he is growing on me and improving. He's going to be put in a big spotlight, so we'll see what happens. Jay White, I enjoy. Switchblade character is growing on me. So send all the hate mail to Colin, please. Thank you.
And you know what? Here's another thing I want to talk about. We get a lot of tweets.
We do?
In regards to the whole Switchblade Jay White thing, because a lot of people take offense to what I say, but they're kind of questioning my lack of connection with Jay White. But here's the thing I don't like. I don't like the notion that I have to stick around and watch a backstage press conference in order to absorb someone's character. Because, could you imagine, and Damon, I don't know, I know you don't watch television, but could you imagine if, there was major character development on Game of Thrones, but it didn't happen during the episode. It happened afterwards on the little, the 1 or 2 minute thing where the showmakers are talking. Like imagine if they just revealed major shit about the character that didn't even happen in the episode.
I'm 100,000%, and I know this. Well, this is how people absorb media these days on all kinds of channels and mediums and platforms and blah 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 blah. Blah. We're gonna raise Instagram views by shut the fuck. I hate that. I do. I guarantee you, I hate that. Yeah, I agree with that point. 100%.
If I don't get your character, if what your character is all about doesn't come across to me during the confines of the actual pro wrestling show, then I don't care.
Right. I will be truthful and say I probably have watched maybe 3 Being the Elites. Right.
Damon, I don't have time. I'm going to be honest. I do not have time.
Right. Look. But here's the thing. Now I will say this. I'm gonna be devil's advocate here.
Okay.
Colin. In this day and age, right, I think that someone or some people like the Elite and all the Bullet Club and all that, they are ahead of the curve when it comes to that.
There's something to be said for that. Yes, I am in agreement with you there. They know how to work the social media gimmicks.
Yes. Now, on the flip side, there are plenty of pro wrestlers who should get the fuck off social media.
Yes,
right?
we've talked about some of them.
Yeah, we know who would be first on our list, right?
Brian Mackey. No, kidding.
Right? Get the fuck off the social media, right? It is not for you. You don't know what you're doing, and you're making things worse for yourself. But the being the elite, I mean, listen, people watch and people, you know, I'm not a big fan of the of continuing a storyline without – here's – and this might be the old man speaking, but you know what I hate is like when I had my Facebook account or if I had another account. I don't have any social media, by the way. I just FYI. So sorry if I don't communicate anymore. You, please, if you know my number, text me because that's the only way you're going to get the fuck hold of me.
And even then.
What?
I said, and even then.
And even then, I'll. But here's the thing: I read every text. Don't get me wrong; I read every. But like, I just don't have the energy to fucking respond.
No,
sometimes.
No sells a lot of them.
I do no sell a lot of texts. I'm sorry, and it's nothing. Don't be offended by that. Don't take it personally.
Oh, it's
personal. I'm just really a terrible human being. Anyway, like when somebody, like when I would post something on Facebook, and then I would get a text about that post on Facebook. Like, don't cross the streams of platforms. Leave it at one. And I think that's the biggest challenge. Anyway, I agree. If I need to find serious character development in something else, then something's wrong. But I will say this about the Jay White. A lot of that was during a press conference. I don't have a problem with that so much. But I agree. Listen, I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Even if it's – okay, one final point about that. I'm sorry.
I know
I'm beating a dead horse, but – how many I'd be curious to know the statistics of how many people are sticking around for these press conferences after the actual show is over. I mean, after the show's over, I'm wiped. I'm wiped out. I'm done.
I mean,
okay?
I just think it does add another level to the fandom. And a little bit more. It's extra material. You know, it's extra stuff.
He's not my puppet master. I'll tell you that much.
I kind of go back and forth on it, on how it's done. Like stuff like being the elite is a little much for me. When you're progressing storylines through that vehicle, but again, I don't necessarily think that's for me. I don't like it where I got to be like, I got to watch this thing too to follow this story.
Yeah, there's all these little supplements that you have to follow now in 2018 and.
Yeah, I don't want a supplement. I don't need any supplements. I kind of would like it self-contained. Okay, but I understand why they're doing it, and I get it, and it makes sense to now in 2018. I understand, blah, 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 blah. Don't call me an old man.
Some days, Damon, some days I often fantasize about us doing a show like this in the 1980s on a local AM station after watching, like, you know, VHS copies of shows that happened, like, 6 months ago.
You're not going to get the reference, but I'll be your Carmela Panfil to your Joel Goodhart.
You're damn right I didn't get the reference.
Some people might. All right, let's move on, Colin. We have the show to finish up here.
Yes, we do. Semi-main event ROH World title. Originally supposed to be Dalton Castle versus Beretta, which I was really looking forward to. But, of course, Beretta, you know, he's got a couple different injuries, right? He's got the shoulder injury. He's got the pec injury. So
he's mummified.
Yeah, right. He's wrapped up like a mummy. And so they threw in the Beer City Bruiser. And initially I was like, ah, goddamn, I was really looking forward to that match on paper. That sounds like a match I would enjoy, and now it's a three-way, and yada, yada, yada. I understood why they were doing it, you know, to kind of save Beretta. But after the match was over, and you know, I thought this was a damn good triple threat match.
Yeah, I mean, Beretta, it felt like he conserved himself for big, painful looking spots.
Yeah,
you know, considering, you know, a torn pec and an arm, and apparently, according to a tweet that was sent to me, not that I am on Twitter, that was sent to me, he's done for a while, right? He's taking some time off to heal up, which
he even tweeted that.
Yes, he tweeted it. Yes, that's was a copy of that tweet was sent to me. Yeah, so I think they used him conservatively in the match, but when they did use him, you know, they were impactful spots. And again, it kind of told the story of why We saw a four-minute match earlier in the day with the Beer City. So everybody got their Dalton Castle fix. The young boys, they look like they struggled getting off the cape for poor Dalton Castle.
They did.
Just strangling them. What did you think of the match? Good?
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
I was, well, here's the thing. Like I said, I was so looking forward to Dalton Castle versus Beretta. Once Beer City got involved, I was like, oh boy. But again, very, very pleasantly surprised. I mean, I would put this in the, I'd put this in the 3.75 range. How about that?
Yeah, I don't think it hits four, but I think a high threes is fair, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think of Dalton Castle? I know, are you watching a lot of Ring of Honor now with Dalton Castle as the champ?
Nope. I'll be honest. Listen, I do not watch. Quite frankly, I don't watch a ton of other promotions outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling. If you want me to be completely frank, or if you want me to be Colin, I can still be Colin. But Dalton Castle, look, I'm still a fan, and I think that, like you had hearkened to earlier, he seems to be connecting a lot more with the audience in Corican than in past years, and he's got the best deadlift German in the business right now.
All right, fair enough. All right, good match, good. And again, I like the way that they improvise in the spot, so good for them. All right, what we got next?
Finally, Damon, to send us home here, the main event, Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi versus Cody and Marty Skrull.
I love this match, man. I thought this match was fan-fucking-tastic.
So did I.
A great way to end these two shows. The crowd was buzzing. Again,
literally.
The buzz was buzzing, right? Remember that?
Buzz is buzzable.
Buzzable, right? Ruth Buzzable. I think we have ourselves the making of a fun, exciting. And again, I told you flat out in the beginning of the show, it's renewed, it's re-energized my passion for pro wrestling. I think they are the most babyface of babyface tag teams since the fucking Fantastics, and I'm all in. I thought this match was great. I thought Cody did what he needed to do, right? In the sense of he needed to be a motherfucker of a heel, and he was a motherfucker of a heel, right? And I like the fact that I like the indecisions a little bit with Marty Skrull, right? A little hesitation, but then he kind of felt like, you know, he was I don't want to say short sighted. That's the word, like short end of the stick. But he, you know, he
stuck
felt
between
a
rock and a hard place.
Well, yeah, all those things, Colin. He's, you know, he's all those. So, no, I like the dynamic of the match.
He's up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Right, exactly. All those. I'm excited for it, man. I know that you're more focused on the end journey, but I beg of you to kind of just sit back, enjoy this for what it is. Once again, well, one, Kenny Omega is getting all of his checklist off, right? He's getting it all knocked off.
What have I been saying?
Well, you have been. But here's the thing: it's pretty amazing when you're making money for a pro wrestling company, how you can kind of dictate what you want to do, right? It's literally anything that he wants at this point, they're handing him on a silver platter. And again, they are the most fun tag team and most lovable and, again, babyface of babyface tag teams that we've seen in a long time. And it's almost refreshing. And dare I say, Kenny, and again, he's playing a babyface role at this point. He looks energized. And he looks refreshed, and he looks like he's having a fucking blast. And look, that's the goal, right? I think that's what every pro wrestler dreams of, is having fun with his friends and making a fuck ton of money doing it. That's the dream, and he's living it.
Who's the leader of the Bullet Club?
Cody Rhodes.
Oh, right? I thought you were going to say Chase Owens. That's who I kind of...
He's getting my vote. I'll put a vote for Chase.
That's where my vote goes to. But yeah, at this point, right, Cody Rhodes is the face of the Bullet Club.
Yes. And I do like the fact the post-match interview, you know, he gets on the mic, Kenny Omega, and he
dropped an F-bomb.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, pouty mouth.
I was offended, but.
Oh, you really? You're going to write? You're going to write that?
Yes, I am. I'm going to write that.
I was offended by his cussing.
Do you like their Golden Star Trigger finish? I dig that.
I like that. I like the callback spots. You know, what do they call it? The dig. I know what I mean. You know, the cross moonsault hit.
You can't escape.
Yeah, and I like how they fucked it up. Right? They Kota Ibushi was out of place, and Kenny's like, no, you that corner. Right? They kind of. You know, I don't want to say tease, but they kind of, you know, made sense. They hadn't tagged in years, and the little ring rust and all that. So I like that. I like the fact that, you know, Young Bucks coming out really was based off of a slip of the tongue. You know, it was like, you know, they're talking about, you know, we are the best tag team. You know, we're fucking Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega. You know, we headlined the Tokyo Dome. Of course, we're the best tag team and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that little slip of the tongue, here comes the Young Bucks. We're like, whoa. You know, I appreciate, you know, again, you had to watch the fucking Being the Elite, but, you know, there was a peace offering and all that stuff. And, you know, we were fine until you start yapping your mouth about being the best tag team.
And I've got to agree with my boys, the Jackson brothers. I'm on their side. I'm in their corner.
All right. Well, listen, I'm all in on both. Ah, get it? All in.
Ah,
nice,
I do get it.
All right.
I still don't know what that show is, by the way, but...
pretty much what you just saw this night is going to be what that's going to be. So I think overall, I love the angles. I love the direction. Let me ask you this. Is this a step down for Kenny Omega chasing a tag title? Yes or no?
Whoa. Wait a second. Chasing a tag title? I don't think he's ever going to be chasing a tag title.
No?
Okay. No.
You don't think eventually they'll get a title? What if Evil's injured and cannot defend the titles?
Okay, if Evil can't come back in time, then I will say that is a possibility. But I'm telling you, and I hate to rain on everybody's parade, but this is not going to last long. I am telling you.
That's what you say to every girlfriend.
Listen. I make up for it in other ways, but
right with flowers.
Right, this is not going to last long. So enjoy it while you can.
I really think that's what you've said before.
Could be.
I've heard these before. Okay, but I'm just saying enjoy it for what it is. It's because it's fun and it's invigorating. And I'm all in on it. So as long as it lasts, Colin, I'm going to enjoy as long as it lasts.
And on that note, Damon, I think that's a wrap.
Good. I'm starving. I haven't eaten anything.
You're
going to
go
day.
Get a wrap.
I'm looking at all the bread that guy made on my face. I'm looking forward to something. I'm starving. I think we have some Korean tacos.
Korean tacos.
Yes.
Sounds delicious.
Yes, I think that's what's waiting for me. So, I'm excited. So wrap it up, Colin. I'm starving.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen. So that is our show today. But once again, we want to thank you, as always, for tuning in each and every week. I see the statistics. I'm always just kind of blown away that we have listeners in Brazil and Germany and Ireland and the UK and of course the States and just. All over the, you know what, Damon, actually, I counted we are spanning at least 5 continents.
Wow.
Not sure about Antarctica and Africa.
I need, if there is one motherfucker right now in Antarctica listening to my voice, please get a hold of us. I'll send you something.
If you are listening in the continents of Antarctica or Africa. Please get in touch with us. But yeah, we're spanning five continents, and it's really mind-boggling for me to think about. But remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify.
Spotify, yes. Yes, we are.
AM radio, transistor radio, ham radio. You can listen to Morse code. We're on Morse code right now. You can listen to us. You can listen to Damon's rants in a series of dits and dahs. We're all over the place. And, of course, the great voices of wrestling.com. No shortage of ways to listen to the New Japan PuroCast. And, Damon, we're going to be back here next weekend, right?
I think so. I think it's a plan, and I look forward to it each and every week, discussing the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling with you. Beep, 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 boop.
That's right. So, on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We shall catch you guys right here, same time, same place next weekend, for another rousing edition of the New Japan PuroCast. We'll catch you later.